Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Android Central podcast. My name is Shruti Shekhar, and I am the editor-in-chief here at Android Central, and I have my lovely friends with me, Jerry Hildenbrand. Hello, hello.
Hey, 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 what's happening?
Not a lot. Derek Lee, hello, good sir.
Hello, everyone.
And I've got Nick Sutrick. Hi, Nick.
Hey.
Okay, it's been a month since we've recorded, and this is not the trend. We promise you guys, I actually received two emails from loyal podcast listeners asking where is our podcast. And frankly speaking, we've just been really busy and, you know, we've kind of gotten a bit lazy about it. So we're going to get back on track. We're hoping that it all works out. And we're coming at you with a great episode talking all about MWC Mobile World Congress, which took place last week?
Yeah. And hey, to be fair, both Derek and I were out of the country over the last two recording sessions.
Yeah.
Exactly. So we had some issues, but it's all good. So let's talk about MWC. Mobile World Congress, it was hosted in Barcelona this year, and Derek and Nick were both present on the ground. It's obviously, you know, an intense conference because you are going from many different locations, doing many different booths. There are, you know, so many new announcements happening. But how about we start off with talking about both of your experiences going to MWC, and maybe each of you can talk about the highlights that you had from the show. But I also want to talk about sort of the cool things that showed up at MWC, but we'll get to that in a bit. Let's first stick to your experiences and your highlights of the show. Whoever can go first.
Okay. I'll go. So this was my fourth conference I've been to, my first MWC. I've been to CES twice and IFA once, and MWC was so much better than those other two. It's so much better organized. It's just easier to get to where you need to go. Pretty much everything was in one place, I think, with the exception of one of my demos from Honor. And it really, I don't know, I was so happy with the ability to easily navigate the show floor. They had a really cool layout, if you've never been to this convention center, where all of the halls, if you imagine them sort of like a spine, right? You have a backbone that runs the whole way down, and that's on like the second level. So you can walk, you know, through all the halls without too much traffic on this level, and you can look down and see everything in each hall, and it spreads out to the side, again, like a rib cage or something, right? Being able to just so easily go to each one of these halls and find stuff was just such a breath of fresh air, because like, CES is all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
IFA, I don't think, has ever been organized once. Like, it's just, oh my gosh. And I know I talked to a lot of other people that have been there in previous years, and they all said the same thing. Like, this is the one to go to if you're going to pick anyone during the year, if for no other reason than the fact that it is so well organized.
Yeah, absolutely. I can believe that. I mean, just from hearing what you guys were talking about and the level of organization that most of these companies had with their schedules, it just kind of seemed like it was a seamless, you know, event. Before we go to Derek, because I do want to hear what his experience was, what was a highlight for you? I don't mean like something that you truly enjoy, but I mostly mean announcement-wise. Like, what was a highlight announcement-wise for you?
Let's see. Things that we saw. You want, or do you want actual announcements?
Well, I mean, I would prefer to do announcements because I do also want to talk about things that you saw. Yeah.
OnePlus 12 Genshin Impact Edition.
Ah, okay.
So I don't really care about Genshin. I've played it before. I mean, it's fine. I'm just not really that into it. But this phone is like, if you're going to make a special edition phone, this is how you make it. Like, the phone looks sick. The wallpapers and icons and stuff that is included by default with it look great. It has a custom boot animation and sounds. One of the sounds is a little weird, but whatever. It's even optimized and it runs the game better than other phones. Like, it comes with a whole bunch of swag in the box. Like, and it's only like $50 more than the regular phone, which is nuts to me.
I think you'd only want to get it if you were like a big fan of it, though.
Or if you like the design. I mean, I would say the design in and of itself is probably enough to pick it if you really enjoy it, especially if you're somebody who, I mean, it even comes with a case, so you can use it with a case or not. Like, it's, if you like that color and that design, it's a solid pick.
Well, that's good. I like that. I do want to talk about some of the notable announcements, but we'll get to that in a second. And I also, again, like I mentioned, I want to talk about the cool things that you guys saw. If you guys aren't aware, we put out two collective articles. The first is Android Central's Best of MWC 2024, and that has sort of all of the best announcements, best things that came out of MWC. And then we also put out an article titled The Coolest Things We Saw at MWC 2024, and that is slightly different than Best of. So we'll talk about that, all of that in just a second, but I want to talk to you, Derek. Tell us, again, same two questions, your experience and the most notable news announcement that came out, in your opinion.
Well, I'll start by saying that this was my first MWC, and which is kind of a big deal because I've been, like, this has been a dream for me to go to MWC. I've been wanting to go for many, many years, since before I started doing this. MWC is part of the reason why I started doing this, to be honest. So it was actually great to be able to go. As for, like, being there, I honestly didn't really know what to expect, but when I got there, it really reminded me of, like, Comic-Con for a different type of nerd. And, like, no one was, like, really dressed up. At least I didn't see anyone dressed up. Was anyone dressed up, Nick? I don't think so.
At MWC?
Yeah.
Like, I mean, there were lots of people in, like, you know, suits.
yeah, there are a lot of suits. There's a lot of suits, but then a lot of, like, not suits. Like, you could definitely, it was just interesting to see, like, that mix of just casual and, like, business. Like Nick said, it was laid out very well. Companies are, like, kind of squished together, but it was nice because you could just go, like, straight from MediaTek to I don't know, like, T-Mobile, and then to, like, Qualcomm, and then over to, like, Honor and Xiaomi. It was just really, really, really cool, and everything was just so, I don't know, everything was just so fantastical and bright, and, like, you wanted to play with everything. Just super interesting. My feet hurt. So, like, if you end up going, wear comfortable shoes, because I did not. And that was on me. I chose fashion over comfort.
Yeah. I would say the next time that we go, I would like to set aside a day that has no plans.
Yes.
So I can just walk the show floor and see stuff. Because there was so much stuff I couldn't even see.
Yeah, there was so much that I think I wanted to see, but I didn't get a chance to. And some things that, like, I probably didn't even know were there that I, like, would have probably have liked to see. There was just so much. So, like, yeah, I think, you know, with it being my first and Nick's first MWC, like, I think, you know, it was definitely a learning experience because, yeah, you definitely have to set, like, a day to just, like, do, like, nothing really and just walk around and just see things.
What about news?
I don't know. That's kind of hard because, like, I guess there's two things that stood out to me. One of them was the ZTE Nubia Flip 5G. And it kind of reminds me, like, design-wise of, like, the Huawei Pocket, whatever, something. And then who else has one similar? The Tecno Phantom V Flip. Because it's a flip phone with a circular outer display. And it's really, I think it's like, what, $599 in global markets. And it's just, I like that we're finally getting, like, more affordable flip phone foldables. You know, because, like, for the past several years, like, you know, if you wanted a flip phone, you'd have to spend $999 on it. But in recent years, like, you've seen, like, Motorola, Tecno, Huawei, And now ZTE come out with like even more affordable phones. And this is just the latest one, and it's coming to global markets. So I just think that's super great. The second thing was MediaTek was showing off some of the AI capabilities of the Dimensity 9300. And they were just really cool. Like there was one in particular that I loved where it was like an image generation thing. And as you typed, it was generating the image, like literally as you type, like you didn't have to wait for it. Like you didn't have to type something and then press enter and wait for it to generate. It was generating on the spot as you typed, and you could see it changing in real time.
That's so weird, but also cool.
Yeah, it was so cool. I think in my, when I tried it out, I like did like Goku fighting Superman or something. And it was just so cool to like see it form like in real time.
Wow. That's cool.
Following up on that, like, you know, when Truthy asked what's the most notable piece of news or whatever that came out of this, I think that was probably it. Like on device AI in general, to me, is probably what made the biggest splash.
Mm-hmm.
Because so far we've had, you know, how many companies announced AI feature this and AI feature that, and pretty much all of them are running on the cloud, right? Like you have to maybe get a subscription in the future. Who knows what that's going to bring? But we had MediaTek show this off, Honor showed it off, a whole bunch of other companies showed off stuff running on device that was capable and did way more than we expected. And I feel like way sooner than we expected, given that, you know, Samsung just launched a bunch of features and pretty much all of them are running in the cloud. And not even a month later, here comes all these companies. Hey, guess what? We don't need the cloud.
You know, actually, that would be a really good technical article for you to write, Jerry. Like, kind of explaining.
Getting assignments on podcast.
Yeah, no, but I mean, I just think it's like, I find that so fascinating that it's like generating something as you speak, as opposed to waiting to take what you've said, analyzing it, and then computing it. Like, it's like that in real time concept to me is kind of creepy, but like, I don't know how to, like, it's...
Oh, it's terrifying.
It's not meant to be, like, I guess it's supposed to be, you know, helpful in a way, but I find that creepy. Is that just me who thinks?
No.
Okay.
AI... And foreign companies watching everything you type is creepy as hell.
But again, it's on the. I think that's like why it's important that it's on device instead of being like sent to like.
Wait, they told you it was on device.
Yes.
Did you check?
I don't know how
to
I would
make sure it's not sending anything.
I mean, I don't know how I would check, but yeah, it's on device.
That's it. Nobody has checked yet. That's.
I mean, I doubt. I don't know. Somehow, I doubt that they would like. Blatantly just lie, but I don't know.
I don't want to throw stones at MediaTek, but yes, they have blatantly lied in the past.
Ooh. Anyways,
they're probably not.
These are also things that like Qualcomm has showed off before, and like, and you know, Samsung has, you know, sort of shown off, you know, and so I don't doubt them that this is happening. I don't know. And it's just with the image generation, with the video, that one actually did take like, it was 50 seconds for it to generate the video. And it was like a 3-second video. But with the image generation, and it's a very small, low resolution image too.
Either way, I think it'd be really cool to get Jerry to write something, but I want to move on and talk about three products. Before we talk about the coolest things at MWC. So two products, which are normal, but one anticipated. So let's talk about OnePlus Watch 2. I do want to not talk too much about this because there is an editorial that I want to talk about, which Nick wrote that published today, actually. But so before we talk about OnePlus Watch 2, let's talk about an anticipated product. Samsung Galaxy Ring, you guys had the opportunity to actually see it. in person, I guess for the first time since the announcement. What did you guys feel about it? Kind of looks, it looks very similar to the Aura Ring.
It does. It looks nice. It somehow, like, I feel like it looks a little slimmer than the Aura Ring. But that could just be because of like the sort of concave design to it, which I find very interesting. But I mean, besides that, I mean, we didn't really get to like touch it or anything. There were three different like colors / finishes. It was like gray, or sorry, silver, black, and gold. The gold was a little, I don't know, gaudy, but
the gold was like radioactive gold.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know what they did to that color. Maybe it was the lights, but it was super shiny.
You might like it, Shruti. Wow. But
but like you can see that crap half a block away. You know
exactly.
I mean?
Yeah, it'll blind you. But
that's my kind of gold, though. Let's be
exactly.
real.
Well, hey, you know what? Then maybe you'll love it.
No, I can't step away from my Aura Ring. I'm sorry. Sorry, Samsung.
Yeah, I just PS, I just ordered a new Aura Ring, like, and it's arriving today. But yeah, the ring was behind glass, so we couldn't like touch it or anything, but it was still just like interesting to like see that this tangible object is real and is coming.
In existence,
yes.
Yeah.
I don't know. I didn't really have many impressions on it just because, like, I mean, Samsung hasn't been able to really reveal much. They were kind of just showing it off.
The angle of the picture that you guys took, it looks literally identical to, like, I'm currently holding my Aura Ring and I'm looking at the picture that you guys took, and it looks identical to the Aura Ring. It's crazy. Like, even there's like three sensors at the bottom of, they right. look exactly like the Aura Ring sensors. Like it's quite comical to me, actually.
It is, because Aura I know was like going on like a suing spree with some other smart ring company.
Jesus.
So I think it was like RingCon they sued, and then like Ultra Human or someone.
Good Lord.
So I wonder like how this is going to play out when the Galaxy Ring actually does come out.
My only takeaway, other than the shiny comment earlier, was that, you know, you're talking about how much it looks like the Aura Ring and all that, which I think is a good thing, right? The Aura Ring's probably
the standards.
One to follow, right? The pick.
But this
supposedly weighs half of what the Aura Ring weighs, which I think is really good.
But the Aura Ring already doesn't weigh a lot. Like, what? Yeah. What?
I know.
It's so
and,
light.
Well, I thought that was cool to hear.
That is interesting, because, like, you're fitting all this tech, like, and it's supposed to last. Samsung said the Galaxy Ring lasts up to 9 days. Which, like, I don't know, just squeezing all this tech and battery into a ring is just incredible.
It is.
Yeah, and, like, I already... Okay, so you all know my feelings towards Aura. I mean, like, I love, heart, love, eyes, love, heart. But I will say I do think that the quality of the Aura Ring feels very cheap. Like, I have expressed that before. I have expressed how, like... So I have the gold one, and I've had it for over a year now, almost 2 years now, and it's tarnished pretty badly. Like, I mean, that is a fact. Like, it will tarnish because it's not like real gold or anything. So, and the fact that I feel like it feels cheap and that it's super light already, I already worry about the Galaxy Ring being of good quality, because if they're saying that it's lighter, then I wonder if it's going to be even cheaper product quality, right?
There's definitely a line with jewelry where it's like, okay, it can be light enough to not be burdensome, but it can't be so light that it feels cheap. So yeah, I don't
exactly.
I mean,
yeah,
I am looking forward to using it, if for no other reason than I have never used a smart ring before.
I'd
love to see if something like this could change my mind, because I don't like working out with rings, and I feel like that's when I would want to wear this the most. So I'm not sure what sort of value it would bring me.
I don't want to spend too much time on this, but I will say I don't think the smart ring is meant for physical fitness tracking. I think it's more so for so many other things, like monitoring your health, monitoring your sleep cycle, your heart rate, that kind of stuff over fitness.
Like, yeah, and it's a tighter fit on your finger. So it's supposed to be more accurate, I think, when it comes to certain metrics. But I will say, like, you know, the Galaxy Ring is exciting that it's coming out. But again, like, you have to remember the Oura Ring Gen 3 came out, like, what, 3 years ago? So Oura, I feel like, is likely coming out with a new one soon.
Oh, wouldn't be surprised. Yeah.
And I'm curious as to, like, to see how that's going to compete.
I just want a company to make an implant.
Wait, implant? What?
Talk Go to ask Elon.
Isn't Elon Musk already doing something like that?
Yeah, but I meant somebody who's not an infant.
Who's not nuts. Yeah.
Okay, let's talk about OnePlus Watch 2, because that also launched. And I want to segue to Nick's editorial that he wrote this morning. He titled it, "I tested the OnePlus Watch 2 and Pixel Watch 2 for a week in Spain. The results were surprising." And this one's a fun type of article. We tend to do our own testing quite often. And I specifically asked Nick to write something like this because he was getting the OnePlus Watch 2, and you also have the Pixel Watch 2 as well. So why don't you first tell us which watch outweighed the other, and then tell us your testing methods and how it went.
All right. So I wanted to do like a little inside baseball for a second. All right. So when we were coming up with this title, the original title I had ended with something like only one was worthwhile or worth it. Right. And then I started writing this thing up and I was like, you know, the OnePlus Watch 2 is actually way better than I initially had thought. And the reason my opinion was so strong against it is that it's terrible for health tracking. Okay, so let's just get that out of the way. If you are somebody who tracks workouts, if you're tracking sleep, don't buy the watch. It's just so inaccurate. And I know, you know, there's the whole school of thought that's wise, where, you know, you're not really supposed to trust the data that comes from this. It's more of a suggestion rather than medical advice, which is good. But there's also, you know, it has to be at least accurate enough to give you a good picture. And I don't think this watch is. However, if you are looking for a smartwatch for basically any other reason, this is probably the Wear OS watch to get, because it lasts 4 days on a charge, which, you know, when you're going on a trip, it's really nice to have that. It's nice to not have to dig out your charger and find all this stuff. And, like, especially if it's a short trip, you may not ever even have to charge the thing.
Yeah, but the thing there is all the new watches are going to do that.
After this, sure. But, I mean, if we're just talking right now, then, you know, for the same price, actually, it's a little less than a Pixel watch. Like, you're getting four times the battery life. Like, I even said,
oh, I'm not suggesting not to buy one.
Right. I gotcha. But, yes, this is the starting point for this concept, which I think is really cool. It uses two CPUs, two OSs. One CPU is dedicated to each OS, right? And it basically runs all of the behind-the-scenes stuff and all that with the ultra-low-power one. And then any of the heavy lifting that needs to be done, running apps, fitness tracking, whatever, that type of stuff is done with Wear OS and the faster processor. And because this is launching that, yeah, we're going to start seeing more watches do this in the future, which I think is just such a brilliant design. It's one of those where you go, why didn't we have this sooner? Because it's just so smart. I don't know. I really was kind of enamored with that concept, and that we hadn't really done that very much in the past. And then I guess as far as use, right? The OnePlus Watch 2 is just really nice to use during the day. It only comes in one size, which is very big. So if you don't like very big watches, maybe don't buy it. But
I will say I saw you using it. Or I saw someone using it, and
probably me.
Probably. And I just liked how, like, the performance. It just looked, everything just, like, worked so smoothly. Like,
Right.
I've never seen Wear OS. I haven't used the Pixel Watch 2.
Do you find that interesting, though, that that's, like, do you... Okay, so I guess my question for you is, you think it ran smoothly and the performance was nice, but if the smartwatch has really bad measurements in terms of, like, measuring your health stats or fitness stats or whatever, then what's the point of getting a smartwatch is sort of my thought process, right? Like, what is the ultimate, like, we've questioned that before. Like, what's the point of getting a smartwatch? And realistically, the point of getting a smartwatch is for fitness. And if you're not doing that, then what's the point of getting it?
I mean, I was mostly just commenting on, like, because I haven't used a watch or seen a watch in person with the new Qualcomm chip. And so to see this watch being used in person, to see its performance, I was blown away because Wear OS isn't known really for having all that great performance unless you're on a Pixel watch or on a Galaxy watch. And even on this OnePlus watch, I felt like it ran a lot better than my Galaxy Watch 5, which I think is, you know, a fine watch. So just to see it perform. Now, on, you know, your question, like, yeah, I do think that it's, you know, if a watch isn't doing a good job at, you know, tracking metrics, then that kind of defeats the point because, yeah, like, the main reason why I wear smartwatches for, you know, sleep tracking, for, you know, activity tracking, you know, to, you know,
get your metrics and stuff.
Yeah. So if it's not doing that correctly or, like, you know, isn't even really in the ballpark, then, you know, that's problematic. And I feel like that can be fixed.
Yes, I think it can be fixed too.
I think so. I've got no evidence of this because I haven't seen a teardown for the new watch yet. But it's probably using the same exact sensors as the Pixel Watch or the Galaxy Watch 5 or any other high-end watch. But it's got all new software powering it and a new processor arrangement that tells me that software can fix any issues. Because I do know that the low power side of the software is monitoring all the health sensors. So there's just some tweaking I think needs done.
Yeah, I think I'm assuming, you know, again, I don't necessarily have evidence other than wearing it and what I've seen. I'm assuming the polling rate is probably not fast enough because it's still running on that low power processor and it's probably trying to save power.
It could be, yeah.
And it could be a number of other things though, but you know, to directly answer your previous question, Shruti, up until the last year, maybe two tops, I wore a smartwatch primarily for notification management and media control. So, you know, seeing a text on my watch and going, oh, I'll quick reply to that. Or, you know, I'm going to pause my music. I just pause it on my watch instead of picking up my phone and turning it on and whatever, you know, like it was a way to reduce friction or reduce distraction for me rather than tracking any sort of health data. So, like, if you're a person like I was, and really outside of just going and working out and looking at my heart rate, I don't track sleep currently. I don't track steps. I don't really care about any of the other metrics except for heart rate when I'm working out. So that was, like, my one hang-up. If it could do that better, I would be wearing this thing every day.
Totally. Okay, let's talk about the cool stuff. And this kind of goes back to something that, Nick, you wanted to talk about. So in our best of awards, one of the categories was best concept phone, which coincidentally was also, like, one of the cool things that, you know, a lot of people talked about. But that is the Motorola Adaptive Display concept. So the phone that looks like a wearable, has a rolling phone display. I mean, we've all seen this. It's happened a million times in past experiences with different companies. You know what? It's cool. Not my thing, at least for me, but you take it away, Nick, because you're the one who is excited to talk about this.
So, and only me. I doubt it. I was going to say, Derek definitely liked it too. So when a lot of these companies show off concept devices, I will use Lenovo in our very exact coolest things we saw at MWC article.
That was a very, very cool product.
Showed off a transparent laptop, which is dope, right? Like, it looks so cool. It's shiny. Like, you can see through it. It runs Windows. It's a laptop.
It's very Minority Report.
Yeah. Like, it's cool, but it's useless, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, nobody's ever going to use this thing. Nobody's going to want to use this thing for more than the 10 seconds that it takes to show it off. And then you're going to go, a glass keyboard with no tactile feedback sucks. A transparent display makes no sense on a laptop. Like, okay, that's typically how these sort of tech demos go. And they show them off because that technology is going to make its way into a product where it makes sense later down the road, right? But for now, they show it off in whatever form they could figure out, okay? This Motorola concept, I feel, actually has some kind of legs as an actual product. And I know we've talked internally, like I talk with Michael and he's like, well, what happens if you fall and land on the bendable phone? I mean, my guess is because it's bendable, it probably won't break. I don't know how often I fall, but I would imagine if I was carrying my phone and I fell and it dropped, it would probably also break. So it's one of those questions where you're like, well, yeah, it's a great question, but also what happens if we do it now? Like, I don't think the outcome
would
be
different.
Yeah, in
fact, I feel like it'd be worse with our current devices, because this phone, it didn't feel like it, like, it wasn't glass. It was like some, I don't know what it was made of.
It's some bendable.
Do you know what it kind of reminds me of? Do you guys remember in the 90s those bracelets that you slapped on? That's what it reminds me of.
Yeah, so this one you can't really slap on because you have, like, there's a sort of bracelet thing they have to wear and it attaches to that. So it almost acts like a smartwatch in that way. But, you know, on the other hand, Samsung did show off their sort of version of this. And that one you could pretty much slap on. But that one was, like, at least the one they were letting us wear was, like, broken. Like, the... it was a mess.
Whereas this actually works.
I guess the thing that I'm curious to know is, because I know, Jerry, you kind of talked about this, about, you know, how concept phones are really dumb in general because they're never, ever going to make it to the market. But then, Nick, you did point out a good point, which is it's not about putting this out to the public, but the technology that could be used in some other format. I don't know. Does that change your opinion, Jerry?
It makes it worse because Nick is right. It makes it to another format. But remember when we saw rollable displays that can bend and all this other nonsense? Do you know what we ended up getting? Horrible phones that the front screen wasn't flat. It had curved edges that nobody likes. That's what they turned that into.
Well, but
or
we
the
also
LG Flex.
Have foldable phones now, too.
No, those are different, Nick. I mean, they're not... The glass bends over on itself, but it's not shaped glass.
Right,
flat.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about. The shaped glass concept, I think, was bad, but what we got from that was the OLED displays that can be bent and is what are used in products like this now.
I don't know. Like, when Nick said, like, these products would go into other things, like, you know, with the Lenovo... transparent display, like LG has, you know, already shown off a TV that is, I believe they're going to actually sell, that has a transparent display. And then, yeah, Samsung did, actually, it was, I think it was this year that Samsung did, I think both of them did it this year at CES. And then LG has already been selling a rollable TV. So it's not like, you know, these things are already on other products. They're just scaling down now, I think.
Right. Or they sometimes have to drastically change them, and the core concept is the only thing that remains.
I mean, you know, I think the rollable TV, for example, I want to say costs like $100,000.
Yeah, and I think that people
even,
who
even
that's
if it
costs
$1,000, is anybody gonna buy it?
No, I don't. The I
TV?
Don't think I
yes.
would. No, you wouldn't, Derek. You wouldn't.
Oh, have you seen that thing?
Gosh.
Oh, that thing is gorge.
The rollable TV makes sense because it's a space saver. Like,
oh my
you can
God,
have
you
the
guys!
What are you carrying TVs in your pocket
no,
now?
It's,
what do
it's,
you need a space saver?
If you live in like a studio apartment and you need a table, right? The rollable TV would be great because it can roll down into the table, and now
you have
and a
now
table
you don't, and
TV.
Like if you're moving, for example, you don't have like this big expensive TV like display that you're trying to not break while you're moving it. You could just roll it in and just move the little thingy.
Right. It has a lot of
some
really
uses.
Good practical.
There are some use
okay.
cases.
All right. Okay.
Yeah, so they'd sell two of them, one to Nick and one to Dan.
And then
nobody else.
There are indeed. There you go.
Okay. Okay. I want to talk about some other stuff now. Okay. I want to go to one last thing, at least for me, that I thought was fun to see, which was the techno dynamic little dog, the robotic puppy. Oh my
it was,
god.
So I've like, I don't know. And shout out to Techno, by the way. But this little dog thing, it was so cute. And I've seen like, you know, little robot dogs before, like I don't know. They always move so awkwardly, but this one, it like the movements were so smooth and like, I wouldn't say 100% natural, but like it just, it was not as robotic as I would have expected it to be. And like, I remember at one point it like hopped towards me and I kind of got scared. Cause you know, it's very Black Mirror.
Yeah, no, but you know what though? Maybe you haven't thought about this, but so I was, I was asked to do a radio hit on, AI or something. I can't remember what it was, but, one of the examples that they talked to me about was robotic dogs, and being used in areas where there have been like destruction. So, you know, having the use of a real dog as well as a robotic dog to be able to go into like spaces where there have been destroyed because of earthquakes or war zones or whatever it may be to help find survivors. I think that idea to me makes a lot of sense. And if we can perfect that robotic dog technology, then that can be like super helpful for situations like this, right? And that to me, like to have, like, yeah, it's cool to have a really realistic type of dog, but I think to me, when you say realistic, I mean, it's more so like the nimbleness of a robotic dog being able to go into areas that are hard to reach or whatever you want to call it, right? I think that's
yeah,
the cool
Techno
part to me.
Put a lot of like tech into this dog, like for it to sort of kind of understand its surroundings, but also, mm-hmm. You know, it was a big battery, although like, you know, with as much as it's like powering, you know, it can only last, I think, 90 minutes per charge. But there's still like a lot of tech in it. And some guy was controlling it with a controller. I think you could use a controller or like your phone, or I think it can kind of just do some things on its own. But it like you're saying, like I could see this tech being used in like those kind of scenarios, especially if someone's controlling it.
Yeah.
So they can see like where they're going and like, you know, maybe it can help people in like certain situations where like, you know, a real person or dog can't, you know, get to. So I thought it was super cute because it was also like, you know, when people would raise their hands up, it would like paw at them. It was adorable. But yeah, Techno had some really cool stuff. They also showed off a rollable phone and some just other cool, you know, stuff. So again, shout out to Techno.
Yeah, for sure. Okay, let's move on from MWC. Let's take a really quick break. And I want to end on a very fun topic. Let's take a quick break, guys. We'll be right back. If your business earns millions or tens of millions of revenue, stop what you're doing and take a listen, because NetSuite by Oracle has just rolled out the best offer we've seen. NetSuite gives you the visibility and control you need to make better decisions faster. And for the first time in NetSuite's 25 years as the number one cloud financial system, you can defer payments of a full NetSuite implementation for 6 months. That's no payment and no interest for 6 months, and you can take advantage of this special financing offer today. NetSuite is number one because they give your business everything you need in real time, all in one place. to reduce manual processes, boost efficiency, build forecasts, and increase productivity across every department. Over 36,000 companies have already upgraded to NetSuite, gaining visibility and control over their financials, inventory, HR, e-commerce, and more. If you've been sizing NetSuite up to make the switch, then you know this deal is unprecedented. No interest, no payments. Take advantage of the special financing offer at netsuite.com/android. netsuite.com/android to get the visibility and control you need to weather any storm. netsuite.com/android. All right. So last week, some interesting stuff happened. I don't want to go too in depth into the article that Andrew wrote, because I actually more so just want to focus on the article that Jerry, you wrote. But I'll give a quick synopsis. So essentially, Andrew wrote an article titled, "Why the Hell Would Google Promise 7 Years of Updates?" And you're probably wondering, where is this coming from? So essentially last week, Apple basically settled a class action lawsuit in British Columbia in Canada for slowing down older iPhone models with software updates. It was a case that wasn't all different from a similar lawsuit that happened and was settled in the US last summer. One of the things that we were kind of thinking about is, could something similar happen with Google phones, considering that Google has now promised 7 years of operating system and operating system and software updates. And you know, does that mean that in the future, a Pixel 8 in the year 2031, getting these updates is going to end up getting slowed down because it's not able to handle the latest software or the latest updates that are being, you know, sent to this device? In the case of Apple phones, the phones that were getting affected were iPhone 6s and iPhone 7s, which are definitely a lot older than what we're at right now. We're on iPhone 15. So the question was, you know, will this happen to Google phones? And if you're interested, obviously read Andrew's article. It's very interesting and fascinating to look into. But we then tasked Jerry to write an article about, well, what will the Pixel 8 look like with Android 21? And it is such a fascinating article, and I'd really love for you to talk about it, Jerry. Tell us your thoughts on this.
Google has to slow things down, strip things out. It's just, it has to. In 2030, 2031, the hardware inside phones is going to be miles better than what's in the Pixel 8. I mean, that's just the way technology works. What's in the Pixel 8 isn't going to run the software the bright people at Google want to try to make. So then what do you do? That's the task you're faced with, is, okay, it can do it, but it's going to be really slow and really terrible. So what do we do?
Before you ask the what do we do, are people allowed to feel upset about that?
Sure. Sure, I mean, you can be upset over anything, but that doesn't change the facts. Mm-hmm. I mean, I controversial opinion, and I said in the article, Apple did the right thing.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they just did it in a really crappy way.
They kind of had to do it as well, though, right?
Apple wasn't very upfront about what they were doing, and that gives Google a chance to be upfront and, number one, not get sued, and number two, hopefully not piss a whole bunch of people.
I've completely agreed with you. Like, I think when the lawsuit first came up, or when people first started getting mad about Apple slowing down their phones, that was kind of my thought too. I was like, well, it makes sense why they're doing this, like, when you think about it. But yeah, the problem is that they just weren't upfront about it.
Right. They did it and didn't say a word.
Yeah, and I think the other thing too is, like, they're the idea that how do I say this without, like, being an asshole? So here's the thing, like, you should be upgrading your phone. I mean, I'm not saying you should upgrade it every year, but I think, Jerry, you would agree with me on this. Like, you should upgrade your phone at least every 3 to 4 years if you can, so that you are able to maintain, you know, the software on your phone to what is, to a point where your phone doesn't collapse or isn't going to be bad, or, you know, it's able to maintain being on the network that you're on, you know, whatever happens in 7 years from now, like, we don't know what the next network is going to look like, whether it's going to be 6G, 7G, I don't know, right? So
I hesitated. I was almost going to mention that fact in this article.
Right.
Who's to say that the Pixel 8 will even run on
exactly
T-Mobile or AT&T exactly or whatever?
Exactly. Because we don't Rogers. Know. We don't know what that network is going to look like, which is why, you know, experts in the engineering field and creation of mobile phones will always recommend, like, you should be upgrading your technology. And so the people who are affected by these phones are people who chose to keep their phones for longer for whatever reason. That's there's no harm in keeping your phone, but I just don't know if, like, it's fair to complain. I don't want to be mean. I don't want to be mean by saying that. Do you know what I mean? Because, like,
that's Shruti.shaker at and or mobile. Okay, I'm not even gonna give you an
address.
No,
I know what you mean.
You're allowed to complain. It's not what I'm saying. You can complain, but also realize that your complaint comes from a place where you have to also recognize that the world is growing in technology, and you can't expect to just keep the older devices forever. It's not going to function. That's all I'm trying to say.
I get it, and I am a very frugal person. You can ask my wife mm-hmm. or my children, who will happily complain for hours on end about how cheap I am. And I get it, but it's very difficult to be cheap if you're a fan of technology. And that, you know, once you understand that, I have a system. When it either breaks and I can't fix it, or it's too expensive to fix, or I see a feature that I want and can't have, that's when it's time to upgrade something. Not just a phone, anything. So I used a Pixel 6. I loved it. It broke. If it hadn't have broken, and they were so difficult to fix, I just gave up on it. If it hadn't have broken, I'd still use it. There's nothing I really want. Now I have a Pixel 7. And I'll use it until it either breaks or Google shows me something that I need or want and it doesn't work on my phone, then I'll consider upgrading.
I think the other, now, like, as we're talking about this, because we've talked about the 7-year upgrade thing for so many different episodes now. And I wonder if the reason why Google is saying, yeah, we promise 7 years of updates, do you think that inside baseball speaking, like, they know that they're not going to be coming up with too many new grandiose software changes where having a 7-year upgrade cycle makes sense, like, it's possible to maintain?
That could be part of it. I think maybe another reason is that they know how they're going to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a call out that, hey, we're as good as the iPhone.
Mm-hmm.
Because Apple can't do it any better than Google or Samsung, who's also going to give 7 years on the high-end phones. Apple can't do it any better than those two companies can. But for so long, it seemed like the people in Cupertino were very arrogant about how they did it better. So this may be a shot against that. In the end, though, this is a good thing. This is a good thing all around, even if everything you love about Android, what, 21, I think?
Yeah.
Is what's
good. Yeah.
If everything you love has been stripped out from your Pixel 8 when it gets updated, it still will run all the new apps. The APIs will likely work unless it doesn't have the hardware required. It's secure, and it's optimized for your network. If you have taken the time to replace the battery, and you will, your phone is not going to last 7 years without you replacing the battery. If you've taken the time to do that and you don't want to spend $1,000 or who knows, in 2030, it might be $5,000.
Oh, God, please don't say that.
Yeah. If you don't want to spend that money, your phone will still work. That's good. Other than that, maybe you won't be satisfied with it anymore.
Although, will it work? Because, I mean, you said that your Pixel 6 broke. Namira has complained about her Pixel 6. It broke. Like, after 2 years, it's just like, it's just done.
But see, here's the thing. I wonder if they've changed the technology, hardware, and everything, Pixel 8 onwards.
I mean,
maybe. I mean, to be fair, my Pixel 6 broke because I took it apart.
Fair enough. So, Jerry.
It shouldn't. What broke should not have broke. That's on you, Google. It's just a place where a cable plugs in. That should never be.
Okay. Well, anyways, that being said, what do you think it will... Yeah, obviously, it'll be stripped down. Is there anything else notable that you think will be from your article, Jerry, that you think the Pixel 8 will look like in...
I think that Google will throttle the operating system and the processor in the Pixel 8 because it will want to conserve the battery, knowing that your battery might be 7 years old.
Mm.
I mean, Apple did that. They had to do that because if they didn't, everybody and their brother was going to get this update and then be at the Apple store saying, my phone battery doesn't last. So they did it. They just didn't tell anybody they were doing it, and it got them in trouble. Made it look like they were just trying to push people to buy a new phone.
I guess on the other hand, it is a good thing that Google and, you know, Samsung have been sort of making strides to make it easier for consumers to repair their phones, like having batteries and extra parts available at like iFixit or like, you know, Best Buy or other places. So on the that is the plus side of this all, is that
yes, the next thing Google, Samsung, everybody please do, we don't care if it's a millimeter thicker. If it's 100 times easier to be repaired.
Yes.
Okay. Well, on that note, let's talk about the things that made us happy this past week or the past month. Who wants to go first?
All right. So for Christmas, my wife got me a charging puck for my Ember mug. If you don't know what an Ember mug is.
Oh, cute. Are they even worth it, though?
I love it. It's one of my favorite things I own. I use it every day, multiple times a day. However, after 2 years of using it, the battery life is hot trash.
Oh, no.
So you need an extra charging puck basically everywhere you sit in your house, right? So she ordered this for me for Christmas. It didn't come with a charging adapter, and these things use a proprietary thing.
Oh, gosh.
When you order one, you can pick to include it or not, and the default is not to include it. So, you know, we emailed customer support. Okay, what's the date now? March 8th?
Yes.
Yeah, so their customer support's not great. I'm going to say that. Really kind of sucks. Took them forever to get to this, you know, I just want to order a charger because you can't just order a charger on the website.
Yeah. Oh my gosh.
I finally got to pay them the $10 for the thing, and now I have it, and now my mug is sitting here, and I've had hot tea the entire podcast. So that's what made me happy.
That's lovely. Oh my gosh. Okay, who wants to go next?
I can go. I don't know. It was about 2 weeks ago. I woke up one morning with no Wi-Fi in my house, and I troubleshot everything and went around. And it turns out that the original Google Wi-Fi from, 7, 8 years ago that I had been using, one of them finally gave up the ghost. So I needed to do something quickly. We ran out to Best Buy, and I bought a new cable modem and Netgear Nighthawk router. Man, my internet is so fast. I didn't realize that my modem was just so piss poor and old, and I got this new modem, and I mean, I'm seeing gigabit plus downloads, and I live out in the woods, man. I just want to like put a sticker on my car, ask me about my Wi-Fi, and just drive around town.
Wow.
Oh my gosh, it reminds me, I need to reboot my modem because my speeds have gone down the drain over the last
I should probably do that too.
Yeah, Nick, I realized I've been using a DOCSIS 2 modem.
Amazing.
Derek?
For me, I mean, it's sort of MWC related, but, you know, going to Spain was, you know, that was my first time outside of the United States. So that was fun, and Spain was somewhere I've always wanted to go. But while I was there, I got to see a friend of mine who I've known probably since I was like 17, who moved there a couple of years ago, and he lived like blocks from where my hotel was, and like literally a block from La Sagrada Familia. Like I look out of his like apartment window, and you could see the church like right there.
Oh wow.
Yeah, so but it was just great to see him. I haven't seen him in like over a year. You know, we just walked around, he showed me around. You know, he was kind of like a little tour guide for me, and we had dinner, and it was just really nice to, you know, see a familiar face while I was in a place that was very unfamiliar.
That's so nice. I love that. I'm very happy for you. The thing that made me happy, actually, I just want to go back. I actually am very, very happy that you got to go to MWC, Derek, because it's so surreal to me, because I remember you telling me in December, you were like, oh, I really hope I can go to MWC. And I'm like, all right, let's make this happen. And you didn't even have your passport renewed. And I was like, I need you to renew your passport right
now.
You
like
and
got on me. You were like, no, we're making this happen.
Oh my God.
And so I think it was that day I rushed to I got all my stuff, and the next day I rushed to wherever to like, you know, send it off and make sure I had all the paperwork. And literally like 13 days after I sent it off, I got my renewed passport back.
I know. I was like, oh my gosh, we made this happen. So I'm really glad. That makes me happy to hear that one of your dreams were fulfilled.
Yeah, I'm glad you pushed me to do it.
Okay, the thing that made me happy. So as you all may or may not know, on January 1st, I started my personal TikTok page. And I talk predominantly about books because I read a lot. And I talk sometimes about food because I do love cooking and I love food in general and eating. But what is exciting, I'm so small, guys. Like, I am such a small creator. I don't even care about the numbers. I don't look at the numbers. I don't look at the likes. I don't care about any of that. I just wanted a place to be able to talk about, you know, books and the things I'm reading and the things that excite me. And last night, oh my gosh, this is like, it actually makes me so happy. So last night, a creator that I have followed for a couple of years now, who does book stuff as well and who has inspired me so much on all the different kinds of books I've read over the years, and who actually also inspired me to start my TikTok, followed me. And it's not even like a celebrity crush or anything. Like, that's not even it. It's just like, it was just so exciting to see her follow me. I'm like, oh my gosh, This is so cool. Like, she actually wants to know my opinions. She wants to be my like virtual friend. Like, this is so cool to me. And yeah, it felt really nice, and I feel really proud. And it's been really cool and fulfilling because I have posted a TikTok every single day since January 1st. So I am really, really happy about that. So Anyways, so with that being said, we thank you so much for taking the time and listening to us. Whether it's in the morning, afternoon, or night, we know we've been a bit slacked off with the podcast, but we promise we will try to get back on track, and we really appreciate you listening to us. So we'll talk to you guys real soon. Bye.